I know my parents loved me. Stand behind me, come what may. I know now that I'm ready.
What?
For I finally heard them say, it's a different world.
If we were in a different world, which character would you be?
Quick.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's surprising. You strike me as a Freddy. You know, you strike me as a Freddy.
Okay.
Real, you know, out there, tree hugging, loving, fight the power of plastic straws.
Okay, I'm here for it. Plastic straws? Yikes. Reusable straws.
Reusable straws. See, that's the Whitley that jumped out of me. I think I'm a mix between Kim and Whitley.
I could see Kim. I could definitely see Kim.
Between, the only thing that, the reason why I'm not completely Kim is because she was pre-med. I'm pre-law.
But if you think about the essence of her character, I feel like it's very
I'm definitely
similar.
Kimmy. I'm missing the booty because she had it. But Kim and Whitley.
I think y'all are very similar.
That's yeah. My
definitely. But what's up, y'all?
What is up?
The Fresh Air Podcast.
Okay. Episode 4, dude.
Uh-huh.
Episode 4, season 1. We're almost halfway through our season.
Almost.
Just about. So, we're almost there. We ain't say we halfway. We almost halfway. So, thank y'all for rocking with us. Of course, another episode. So, Isha, I have to ask you, what's your temp?
What's my temp? My temp this week is very political.
Ooh.
Right? Politics. We're in college, right? We enjoy politics. You have to be engaged in politics in college. And if you're not, I'm disappointed in you. What are you paying for?
Step it up.
Neither here nor there. My temp is Trump, you know.
Ooh.
Not that I'm a Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter. Not saying I'm knocking Trump.
Elaborate.
Trump's impeachment, right? Like, all up and down the TL.
Right.
I actually, this is going to sound bad. Sometimes I choose, like, days where I want to listen to news. But, like, I've actively been reading the news.
That's completely understandable, right.
Yeah, actively been reading the news about it and, like, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And he out here trying to, he was like, okay, y'all finna throw me out. Y'all finna impeach me. Let's investigate Joe Biden.
Ah!
Right? Like, so.
If I'm going down, all of
us are going down.
With going down.
You feel me? Democrats, Republican, all that in between. So I was like, okay. It's real juicy, real juicy. What about you?
I'm going to stay on the political tip. I think political, I don't really know if it's political. But Botham Jean, may he rest in peace. Or rest in power, rest in peace, either one. He was murdered in his Dallas apartment by a former police officer, Amber Geiger. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Excuse me, Amber Geiger. And she was found guilty, and we were all like, woo! And then she only got 10 years, and was all like, wait, what? And then family is just kind of like, really forgiving. Mm-hmm. And I'm all here for it. As Christian women, I should be more forgiving. But you kill my brother, it's 10 toes down. Rot. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's just another example of white privilege in our criminal justice system. And so, I mean, 10 years, I hope she really has time to reflect. I hope someone in jail really gets her straight. Not you know, abuse her or something, but really sit her down and, like, this is what you did. And I wasn't in the Dallas apartment, but there's just no way in my mind that you just walk into, like, somebody else's house and the first thing you do is pop them. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I feel like I'm not in any way on her side.
Don't tell me you're about to play the devil's advocate, baby.
I do. That's what I do, though.
Okay.
So I do feel like
it's always the light skins.
I do feel like I understand your qualm with her 10-year sentence. Of course, I don't necessarily think. I think she should have got more time. Yes.
Definitely manslaughter.
But what I'm saying is, like, just the fact that she was held accountable, right? Is, like, a huge step. It's a huge step.
But see, I don't think she was held accountable because of her action. I think she was held accountable because they were forced to.
Okay.
In the sense of, like, there's literally nothing that we can say that you... You know what I'm saying? We can't say that you're mentally unstable or unstable. We can't say that you didn't know because you say you didn't know. But then if you listen to some of what she's saying, like, it just... I mean, I'm not good at math, but it just didn't add up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's my attempt for this week. That's your attempt for this week. We're feeling real political, real social justice-y.
Definitely, definitely. You know? And, you know, that's the kind of people we are, so it makes sense, or whatever. Or that's at least our roots, because, you know, the older we get, the more we change, the more our views change, and all that.
In high school, we were dashiki down, walking the streets of Charlotte, protesting.
Right, literally, but the older we get, we find different ways to do that, you know, daily protests in our, just how we present ourselves, and what we choose to engage ourselves in, and all that jazz, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, this episode is about college.
Yes.
College friendships.
So, yeah. Right? You know, a little link to last episode. We can't say last week anymore because if you don't follow our Instagram, which is kind of wonky, you should be following us on all platforms, including Twitter at The Fresh Air Podcast or The Fresh Air Pod on Twitter. We kind of released a special announcement saying that we're going to kind of space out our content releases because we've been getting feedback that, like, I see y'all dropping episodes, and mind you, we only dropped three, but they're pretty long, they're pretty lengthy, so it's been hard for people to catch up and listen to every episode. So our content release schedule for now is every other week, and if we feel like you guys need, you know, or want more content the way we used to, we can definitely switch back to that schedule, but for now, every other week, so we can no longer say last week
episode. But last episode. But we are trying to, you know, it's the first season, right? We're on episode 4, but it's the first season, so we're trying to grow. Change things, and try to put out the best content for you guys. Mm-hmm. You guys were our special announcement, if you peeped that on our Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, right? We're definitely trying to change it and just it's for best for our viewers and for our content, mm-hmm. right? But back to question of last episode. It was, how do you manage, like, your college friends and your at-home friends?
Yeah.
Right? Or your new friends and your old friends.
Our last episode was talking about friendship in general. We wanted to kind of microscope it to, you know, the microcosm of college and, you know, how friendship operates here, because it operates, honey. It operates. So,
So, answer the question first, Jen. Yeah, answer the question for us.
So, can you repeat the question one more time?
Okay, so how do you manage college friendships, right, and your at-home friends? Or even if you want to think about it in a new friends versus old friends, right? How do you manage?
Not everybody that listens to our podcast is in college, but you probably are around the age 20, 21, yada, 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 your 20s, these 20-somethings. For me, it wasn't hard. Because I had the privilege mm-hmm. of having most of my at-home friends go to college in the same town that I go to college in.
Mm-hmm.
So at first it was a crutch because I didn't have any new friends. And then when I did, you know, grow into the friends that I do have, kind of combining them wasn't an issue because But they're built the same way that my at-home friends are built
mm-hmm.
in terms of the compassion and, you know, family-like aura around our friendship. So it wasn't necessarily hard. I would say that there were some issues at first of, like, you're not dividing your time equally because you're always at UNCG or you're always at MCAT. You don't come visit us anymore. And it was just, like, trying to balance growing in my own space as well as keeping the familiarity, so it wasn't as hard as I know it is for some other people, but it was definitely something that, you know, was a growing experience of trying to figure out how to get both friend groups, for lack of better terms, because I don't necessarily think I have a friend group.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends, you know.
Trying
to get them into one kind of accord, but it wasn't that hard.
It wasn't that hard.
What about you?
Being that I went to school my freshman year in D.C.,
uh-huh.
I didn't really have any friends really from back home. I had people I knew from Charlotte, but none of them were my friends, right? So I made all new friends, and I was, like, forced to make, like, all new friends except for one person, you know, mm-hmm. who was my friend. And our lives were, we had different majors. We had different goals in a sense of, so, but we had similar goals, but still different things. So, of course, different paths. We still met for coffee, talked, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the big thing was, like, if I'm out or, like, with my new friends and, like, my other friends would FaceTime or, like, call me, like, in that moment.
Right.
Trying to, like, still bridge that gap. But then after that freshman year, when I left Howard,
mm-hmm.
right, I thought it would be difficult to maintain those college friendships.
Right.
But my college friends coming to visit and meeting my home friends, and it was greater than what I could have, like, or better than what I could have expected. in a sense of they're such different people. Like, I feel like all my friends are such different people, but they just meshed really well together. So it wasn't that it was necessarily hard, but it is difficult.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah. I feel like the type of friends, well, me and Aisha, if you don't know, if you haven't been listening, if you don't know us personally, we've been friends for almost 10 years. And so we have the same at-home friends. And I feel like the way our at-home friends are built is that they're just people that you just feel at home with.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're biased. Obviously, we're biased in saying that. But from the looks of it, everyone else feels that way, too. And even the people that we are. I mean, people rarely meet us and be like, ooh, we don't like them.
I mean, if they do, they're usually like, usually something's wrong with them. But
let me know. You know what I'm saying? Like, but on a serious tip, like, I definitely see what you mean. Like, it went better than you thought it could.
I agree. I think that, yeah. I think that when they did come around, or, like, even I invited one of, like, my little mentee babies to Howard, and they came up there. It was, like, the friends I surround myself with always engulf you for who you are.
Right.
And we see, or even in both of my friendship, my at-home and my college friends, even though we're so different, we see people for who they are and their essence of their person, not necessarily your major, not necessarily what you're doing in your life. So it's, like, like, your character, and are you a good friend or not?
Or a good person. And I definitely agree with that in the sense of, like, I've been, and we're going to jump all into this, so I don't want to jump the gun, but I've definitely been in spaces where I've expected that from other people, and not everyone sees you for your character. People see you for what you have.
What can you do for them?
What can you do?
Which, in some capacity, I do see that perspective in some capacity.
Yeah, but then it can be exploitive, you know?
It can. So. I agree with that. But we talked about college friends as well, and then one of my college friends actually sent me a response to our question, right? And she said something that I resonated with part of it. And she was like, I talked to my college friends about my at-home friends, and I talked to my at-home friends about my college friends, right? And so that creates a familiarity with both of the friends. So even if I haven't personally met you, if I'm on FaceTime and Jasmine's sitting right there with me, Julia is going to meet Jasmine. It's going to be like, oh, hey, this is Jasmine. It's my friend Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Right? So then when I'm talking about Jasmine or stuff Jasmine's doing or stuff Julia's doing, y'all are going to be familiar. It's not something new. So then when you meet that person in person, it's like not a whole new world.
Okay.
Right? It's just...
Come on, Disney.
It's just... That's what it is, right? You guys are similar, like, I mean, familiar with each other, and you know each other,
right?
So I thought that was really interesting. Her name's Sydney. If y'all want to at her, follow her, Sydney Stevens. Neither here nor there. We're out here, and we're talking about freshman year, right? Mm-hmm. Or that's at least where I started.
Yeah.
I started with my freshman year friendship experience.
Yeah, all that.
It's important in college, right? Freshman year, it's important. But not really. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
I think we put more emphasis on it than it really deserves.
Mm-hmm,
in a sense of, like, freshman year is really just wild. Like, in
terms but it's of, your stepping
all,
stone.
In all aspects, it's like freshman year is wild. I definitely believe that who you are freshman, or the things that you do freshman year definitely set you up for the rest. But I feel like there's always room to change. Like,
I think so, but I think you learn... I think the bulk of your change in college happens your freshman and sophomore year.
Definitely.
And you don't see it really coming into fruition until your junior and your senior year.
I definitely agree with
that's
that.
When you, but I think once you leave that high school or that, like, child mindset, and then you go from freshman to sophomore, in freshman and sophomore year, I'm gonna put those two things together, because sophomore year, you think you're grown and you're not.
It's called, like, sophomore year is literally the wise fool.
Like,
you've been here, but you're still not here. You know
what
I'm saying?
And you're still in, like, your general ed classes. You think you're really doing big stuff and you're not. Let me stop.
Because
there's, in college, it's like this blur area of people who are, like, dual enrolled in high school, so then they come to college, their sophomore year is really their senior year.
Right.
Or their junior year.
Right.
But they're still in that sophomore year mindset. But when we're thinking about, like, from my perspective, I'm thinking about it in a sense
socially,
freshman and sophomore year, it's like you're
identical.
Learning, but you're also still beginning to identify with certain parts about yourself, and then you don't really become those parts of yourself until junior
and
senior
I agree with
year.
That, but the one caveat is your freshman year is really you just throw it out there and hope it gets caught.
You think so?
Yes. Freshman year, even the freshmen who I think had it, well, the freshmen who were freshmen when I was a freshman, so obviously they're still in my class, but people who I thought had it together freshman year are still just wild. Like, you know, just throwing it out there, hoping somebody catch it. And when I say hoping somebody catch it, that could be relationship, friendship, their vibe, who they are. So,
Okay. I can get with that, kind of, right?
Okay.
But I do think that freshman year, you in a sense, you are throwing it out there, right? Even right. that's joining clubs and getting involved, right? You're just going to join everything because you want to be somebody's mentor, and then you want to be in somebody's SGA the next year, or somebody's council or something. And then you learn, I feel like then the older you get, like junior, senior, you start realizing, oh, I joined all this stuff freshman year, but like, I didn't really
do anything.
But I feel like, yeah, and then that's when you learn that. But I do think freshman year is when you make a lot of, you meet a lot of people, right? You make a lot of uh-ohs. You, whether that be with friendship or relationships, right? But because we're specifically talking about friendship, right? How are your, like, freshman year friendships? Mm-hmm. Are they still intact?
You asking me?
Yeah. I'm personalizing it to you.
Not to sound like a simp or a sap, I didn't really have friends my first semester of college in terms of, like, on campus. I had my roommate, shout out to Leah, and I had Kennedy, and I had her roommate, and then the people that filter in that mm-hmm. first semester filtered out. I feel like because I was so, I was isolated, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was so isolated from the rest of my class, from the rest of my mm-hmm. school, and that was purposely, like, that was perfect, like, I was going through my own mental health shit, obviously, but I never really, you know what I'm saying, like, I never really experienced the just wilding out thing with friends, like,
wilding out college friendships?
I already had my friendships from home,
and
that
they were
in that
they
town,
were in the town.
So
okay.
we just carried on our experiences, plus my new friends. And I would say that honestly, me and Kennedy's relationship wasn't that strong freshman year, first semester mm-hmm. to where I felt like, oh, I can wild out with her. No, it was just me and Leah. And even with Leah, I didn't feel comfortable wilding out because I didn't feel like she accepted who I was fully because she was growing into herself. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. that's how I felt freshman year. So I didn't have that experience. So that's, I don't want to sound like a simp. But that's just, you know, that's my experience, my truth.
Okay. I feel like I had a weird freshman year because I only had like a half a freshman year really experience when it comes to school. And like, pause on the friendship conversation. If you're a high school senior, and like, you just think the world is going to be bubblegum and rainbows, it's not. So life will hit you when it hits you. Ooh. And you have to just adjust and know that everything's going to be okay eventually. Right? Whether that's you're in school and you're used to making straight A's and then you get to college and you start making
failing
C's and stuff. Like,
or the
that's
flip.
Right.
In high school, I was not that girl academically. Yeah. And in college, I am thriving.
Yeah. So, no, but I'm saying
doing my passion.
You have to be able to adjust.
Right.
Right. Wherever after high school takes you. We're specifically talking about college, but wherever high school after high school
trade
takes you.
Trade school,
right?
The military,
you have
abroad.
To be able to adjust, and these ideas about friendship and stuff still apply.
They
right?
do.
That year after you graduate high school still applies.
It's still
right?
wild.
It's still just an experience, mm-hmm. right? But my personal freshman year college, first semester
okay.
college experience with friendships, it was kind of weird at first because I felt really lonely my first day. Like, my literal first night, my mother dropped off all my stuff. I felt extremely lonely. I was crying in the club. Everybody knew their roommates, was liking their roommates. My roommate didn't talk, like, our first day. And then she left and went out with her parents. So my first day, I'm sitting there like, yo, this is sad. Like, will I have friends? Mind you, I've only been on this campus for 5 hours. Like...
Will I have friends?
What will life take me? Like, I'm over here crying, bawling, missing my family and my parents. And then it was this group chat. And it was like, hey, y'all, come to my room. My parents left. Like, if your parents still here, go hang out with your parents. Yeah, but
if not,
like, my room's open because my parents left because they had to go to work. And I was like, well, my parents left and they had to go to work. So let me go to the room and see who I meet.
Right.
And I ended up meeting three of my best friends.
That's
like,
amazing.
Which is like...
That's really amazing.
I can't make this up, though. Like, and that was the thing. And before I even had, like, this huge friend group that I have now, mm-hmm. I had the twins, the Jasmines, right? They're not actual twins, but the Jasmines. And then I had Whitney, who was close to Nira,
right?
So I had the people who I related to, who I talked to. I then happened to fall in, like, friendship with my RA and the people on my floor. And the fact that my dorm was an upperclassman dorm, but there was overflow freshmen living in there.
Right.
Created, like, a community amongst the freshmen that lived there.
Right.
Right? And so then I, like, kind of fell into my freshman year friendships and my college friendships.
That's really
right?
beautiful.
And it was, at first, I'm like, okay, all these people are so different. We had, like, a super conservative Christian Southern girl, and then we had, like, a super gay fucking they-them, like, human, right? Right. So meeting this weird, diverse group of like 11 girls and then actually being able to relate with each and every one of them on a different kind of
That's
level.
That's really beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it was like crazy.
Wow, yeah.
It's not what I expected. Like I expected to have my three friends climb the social ladder and be that girl. That did not happen at all, right?
Wow.
And then having to leave school, it really makes you think like, who are my true friends?
Right.
Who are my friends? Not because I go to your school, but because you actually meet, like, me as a person.
Right.
And shout out to all those people who supported me, still
Definitely.
Check up on me,
Definitely.
Still hang out. Come to Greensboro and Charlotte and hang out with me.
Right.
Right?
That's
and
crazy.
So my freshman year, that really was, my experience was if I needed a friend to go to lunch with, I had a friend. Like,
right.
It was because we had that. And then having my two friends and then meeting groups of other people is how we, like, puzzled together our friend group. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know how to weirdly describe I met these two people, then I met these two people, and I was like,
let's all
be friends, right? And then I met this person, and I was like, And then that person came with another friend. Like, it was like, well, I was entered into this friend group, so let's enter another person. And now we have, like, a big old different world kind of family,
and
right?
I think the most important thing that came out of what I heard is, like, you fell into it.
I did.
It wasn't forced. And I feel like my issue is, and you were talking about group chats, coming into, I don't know if this is an HBCU culture thing or if it's a universal college thing to
it
have
is.
Group chats.
It is.
But coming into college, because the prior college that I wanted to go to, which will not be named, I was in that group chat. I was popping. People knew me, or at least that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because perspective is a crazy thing. But, yeah, I was in that group chat, and I felt home when I visited. I knew that's the university I wanted to go to, and when I didn't get to go to that university, and I had to go to the university I go to now, which, you know, life happens for a reason. I love my institution, but I felt like I had to redo that whole
mm-hmm.
cycle, so I was definitely forcing friendships and forcing connections that when you get to campus, if it's not genuine, it's going to fall through.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's part of how my depression started, is all of the connections that I thought I had made were falling through, but it's because they were forced. When you fall
yeah.
into something, you know,
and it's random.
And it's random and you're caught, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? That's completely different than forcing yourself into something and then there's no net, there's no, you know what I'm saying? There's
yeah.
nothing there. It's just you and your expectations.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's there. So I really do think that that's a very important part, is that.
But even then there's really not, I'm sorry to cut you off.
You're good.
There's no expectation. Like.
That's what I'm saying. When you
yeah.
fall, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Then when you fall, there's no
yeah.
expectation. That's what makes it better. Whereas when it's forced, there's expectations there. And if the expectations aren't met,
yeah.
that's where the disappointment comes. And for me, that's where the disappointment came, is I kept trying to make these people my different world. You know,
mm-hmm.
shout out to Whitley, Freddie, all of them. I tried to make them my different world, and that's just not who they were.
Yeah.
So definitely that's a big, I think, caveat, is falling and not forcing. So.
I think so. And I think that when you're in that stage of, like, the freshman year that we said is just wild.
It
right?
is wild.
It's just wild.
Hell.
Let it be the wild.
Let
just
it be
fall
wild.
Into things.
Just fall.
And then you can't overthink. This is going to sound weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't overthink your plan. Right? And this
yeah.
is going to... Because I overthought my plan.
I
like,
agree.
And then all that is there is goals that shouldn't be your goals because your major end up changing. Right? Or, like, things that... constant failure because you're not exceeding these, like, senior year goals
right. I
think your freshman year.
Yeah, constant feeling of, or
mm-hmm.
feelings of failure. And even as I matriculated through my collegiate career, I realized that the goals that I've set each year, they are consistently, not saying I don't meet goals, but I meet goals and I don't recognize those goals because they're
mm-hmm.
not what I've written down.
Mm-hmm.
I could freaking... Last year was academically one of my best years, but I felt the worst because, like you said, I was trying to exceed goals that I already, you know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
just might not be on your path. So that just, like, goes back into, like you said, fall, don't
mm-hmm.
force.
Fall, don't force. Definitely. Definitely. And that, even going back to friendship, because, you know, we love our little tangents, right? If we're thinking about college friendships and specifically freshman year, mm-hmm. in our perspectives, we have two uniquely different.
Yeah.
Right? That's the same word twice, but you get what I'm saying. Like, different perspectives and different experiences with freshman year friendships, right? If we're giving tips, ooh. What's a tip that you could give a college freshman trying to experience friendship, trying to find friends? Because sometimes you find the wrong friends, right? Mm-hmm. Right? If you're feeling it, if you're with me.
I feel like my number one tip, and I don't only have one, but I think mm-hmm. this is the most important one that kind of leads into any other thing that I could say as a tip. Mm-hmm. But my thing is find yourself first and then find your soul tribe. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes we find people, then we try to mold them into who we want to be, and you're always going to be met with disappointment mm-hmm. because you can't change people. No matter, you're not God. You can't. And God is it. I mean, he's struggling to change some of his children. May I accept? I'm not liking his power, but find who you are first, and yeah. then find people who match that. Find, if you like to meditate on the yard, find other hippies that'll do that.
Or don't even necessarily seek them out. Go that's meditate on the yard.
And see who comes up. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You'll find, see somebody else meditating.
Find who you are and then find your soul tribe. Because I feel like when you're a freshman, you're not going to find who you are in that first semester. And if you do, God bless. But more times often than not, you're going to sit at the end of your freshman year and reflect. And then you're going to start piecing together who you are. Mm-hmm. But when I say find who you are, here's a better way. Stick to who you are. Stick mm-hmm. to your core basics and values and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then let the people who are on that frequency find you, like you said.
Yeah.
Don't search and seek, because you're going to just be met with expectations that aren't being fulfilled. And you're going to be looking like, damn, I thought these were my people.
You know,
they weren't.
I agree. My tip, I feel like I had a couple, but my tip would be, my like number one tip that I always tell people, and they just immediately are taken aback by what I say.
Okay.
But it's know your friends that you have right. for different reasons. Oh, okay. And that's not saying use people.
Yes.
Or exploit
people.
That's
what people
That's get. What people interpret it as. Yeah. But I'm saying I knew that I have 11 friends in my core friend group. Not including my associates outside of that, right? Uh-huh. 11 friends in my core friend group in my freshman year. I had my friends that I studied with.
Right.
I have my friends that I know, if I want to go to a party, that are going to party with me. I know my friends that just want to go to coffee and talk.
Right.
Right. And so knowing your different friends for your different reasons, that's not putting your friends in a box or in a category.
Right.
But I know that I'm not going to take my super conservative, like, Christian friend to
a gay bar.
Right. You know, not in that stage of our life. Right. It's freshman year. Right. Just try to learn your different friends for your different reasons. Not saying use people and think, oh, she's in a sorority, I'm gonna be friends with her just for that reason.
Right.
Right? No. Don't try to do that, because people will find you and they will just know that you're a fake and a fraud and a phony.
They'll see through
it. Right. They'll see right through it.
I think that's
with any
Yeah. That's the third tip, is be genuine.
Right.
Because people can see through you whether you know it or not, whether they catch on in a year or they catch on in a day. People mm-hmm. can see through you, and your true self will reveal itself, you know,
definitely
as time comes.
I agree. But then when we're talking about friendship, right? And we're talking about friends for different reasons. We're talking about being yourself and falling into that, right?
Uh-huh.
How does then the friends that you have, right, how does your specific friend group then navigate or help you navigate your moves and your direction uh-huh. in college? So
yeah.
like
yeah yeah yeah
if I have a super motivated friend that's always in the library, right? Am I going to be in the library with that person all the yeah. time?
You're either going to feel some type of way or you're going to adjust.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't remember who said this, and I should probably have researched this, but it just came to the top of my head. And I've really been on kind of like this growing spurt in my junior year in terms of all aspects. I'm trying to really be a better woman. I think mm-hmm. we should all be working towards that. And also, caveat, didn't say this, I'm sick, so if I'm over here sniffling and stuff, I'm just trying to be the best for you, baby. I'm pushing through. But no, so the top five people that you hang out with, see the most in your life, is who you are.
It's a reflection of yourself.
It's who you are.
We've heard that since we were younger.
And see, like, it never
birds
really,
of a feather flock together.
It really, exactly, but it never really kind of like dawned on me until I took a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this growing phase of my life, because I mean, you're always growing, but this specific one is like I'm clocking it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never noticed that until I stepped back and I was like, not saying my friends are slackers or not great people because they're all amazing, but here's an example. I see Aisha every day, right? Like, legitimately have seen her every day since fourth grade. And for me, it was like, okay, I see myself in her and I see her, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I see parts of me in, you know, like, the way we do things, the way our motivation, our drive, the way we think about things, the way we analyze things, I see that. I was like, damn, okay, move to the next person. I see my roommates, obviously, every day, but besides being roommates, we're friends, and I see parts of them and me and parts of me and them in the way that they now, like before freshman year when we had conversations, they would be surface level, but every time we have conversations it's deeper. And I'm not gonna say I influence that, but the type of person I am, I can't just have a regular conversation. Yeah. If we're talking, I'm gonna throw something crazy on the board like I'm Dr. Phil. I see them doing that. I see them implementing that. And another example is me and Aisha are vegetarian in the house. We have two carnivores and two vegetarians, and it's just like they're doing meatless Mondays, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you
I love
see
it.
How,
yeah.
You can see how people influence you. So the people, the company that you keep is a direct reflection of you. So if you're hanging around people who are unmotivated, who are, you know, bad people, who are not mm-hmm. doing the things that you want to do, that is going to reflect on you. And then you're going to move that way.
Or sometimes I feel like it can be, you hang out with these people that right. are doing everything that you want to do.
Right.
Right. Or they're doing all the, they're leaders of this, doing this, doing this. And of right. course, at the root, you guys love each other.
Right.
But then it makes you feel like,
there's a tinge of jealousy can sprout from that.
I'm not doing anything.
Right.
But then sometimes that failure and that envy can then motivate you.
But
to overcome.
I think it's a double-edged sword because it can be toxic or motivating depending mm-hmm. on who the person is. I also believe that there's a period of time in my life where it was recent. If you know me, you know, but I felt defeated because there were people around me doing things and achieving goals that I wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a lot of spiritual healing and reading. And something that I came across said that people who are receiving the things that you want to receive is coming closer to your vision. It's coming closer to who you are. It's coming closer to your fruition. So before, you would see somebody that you don't know achieve that goal and be like, mm-hmm. damn, I want that for myself. And then it keeps coming closer. Your associate gets it. And then your best friend gets it. And next thing you know, you're receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it. And so I do think it could be a motivation depending on who you are. Now, if you're a person who you move from envy, you move from negativity, like your sacral mm-hmm. chakra is all just blocked, you're going to move in envy. It's not going to motivate you.
Yeah.
You're going to start hating your friends. You're going to start, you know, wishing bad upon them. And I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, you know, where you want to be happy for that person, but you can't. And I've been that person, and I've grown from that, like I said in the last episode, because a prime example was in high school, me and Aisha both applied for the scholarship, both got to the interview process. I didn't get it. She did. And I felt hurt. And I was like, in that instance, I had to check myself. Like, I want the best for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take how I feel about it out of the situation. Because at the end of the day, what I want is coming into fruition because people who are literally in my immediate circle
mm-hmm.
are receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week, I got accepted into A&T and I had a scholarship and I was just like,
okay,
I hear you guys. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely see where you're coming from, like how it could be a motivator or
mm-hmm.
a hindrance.
Right. And then a lot of times, like in our conversations, we talk about our friendships, right?
Uh-huh.
And those direct friendships and how your friendships spurred out of being roommates.
Right.
Right?
Honestly.
I have been friends with Julia, like, most of my formative years in my life, right? The latter half of my life, right? Latter 10 years that we've been on this earth. But how did being roommates, right,
uh-huh.
change that friendship? Like, you said that you started, like, with Leah and Ken, with Leah, you were Leah's roommate freshman year, right?
Uh-huh.
With Kennedy,
I was not.
You weren't, right? But you were still, you lived on the same hall.
Right.
So it's still like
still
in close proximity. You're still living near that person, close proximity.
Right.
But like, we've never lived together, but
we've
been
close.
Friends. We've come close, but we've been friends for such a long time, right? And mm-hmm. then we're moving into this next part of friendship and discussing friendship of like, well, how then you're so close with a person, you become roommates with that person, and how does being roommates or living in a house with your friends, mm-hmm. right? How does that affect the friendship? How does that change the friendship? How does that add a new dynamic into the friendship? Maybe you're closer. Maybe right. you feel like, oh, we're close, but we're far apart on some right. sappy shit. Right. Let me stop.
I definitely hear you, because I think that for us, a lot of people looking outside in don't understand our friendship, mm-hmm. listeners, because me and Aisha have a very complex relationship in the sense that, like, if you didn't know us, you would think we'd hate each other.
I don't think that.
No.
People meet us and they're like, oh, you guys are best friends. Like,
well,
and
people ask us first if we're sisters.
Yeah, so I feel...
And then, and it's like depending on which setting.
Even though Julia's places, dark brown and I'm yellow.
There are
but,
places where people will be like, are y'all sure y'all best friends? And it's just how we interact with each other. And it's, I promise y'all, it's not on no toxic tip, because we talk almost nightly, deeply about who we are as women. And like I said, we're on this growing spurt. And I would say that for us, being roommates I think it's given me a different perspective mm-hmm. of our friendship. Leah, I've been roommates with her before. Mm-hmm. She hasn't changed much in her living style. I think that she's definitely grown as a person, but in her living style, like, we were cool then, we're cool now. And I think with Kennedy, it's definitely brought us closer. And also, mm-hmm. it's definitely exposed us to different parts that we may like about each other or dislike about each other. Like, I know with me and Kennedy, like, something, I don't know if I talked about this in the last episode, but she flips the glasses up. I flip the glasses down.
So it teaches you.
It teaches you little things about your friend.
Yeah, little tedious little parts. And then, like, I feel like another thing that being roommates, like, changes about friendships is, like, the parts you said about bringing you closer. Because uh-huh. your friends and your roommates will have random times where you walk in and they're like yelling and screaming and crying over things that you don't even understand. Like, freshman year, I had a moment where, like, life was hitting hard uh-huh. in a sense of, like, I had family members passing.
Right.
And me going through that, right, and then having a roommate who didn't even know me
right.
brought me closer to her.
Right.
Because she walked in and I'm, like, physically ill because somebody yes, close to my yeah. life passed.
I feel
right.
that.
So, and I'm crying, I'm bawling, and this girl who we barely even talked then brings us closer. Then it came to the point where we have different days, and we'll walk in and be like, girl, let me tell you what happened today. Right. But it was because that we were roommates. And with that specific, like, experience, we weren't friends beforehand, but being roommates with a person does affect whether you're going to be friends or whether you're not going to be friends after you move apart. But even living in this house, like, having the similar...
sophomore year, I ain't friends with none of bitches. I never could be.
But having, like, living in this house, and it's like, but that's what I'm saying. It affects yeah. whether or not yeah. your friendship will be a thing or whether or not it will continue.
Right.
Right? Even living here, like, you walk in, and there's days where it's like, we're all...
In our rooms.
We don't feel good. Don't talk to each other.
D&D.
Right? Like, and then there's the days where it's like, somebody's hurting or going through something. Right. And you come in, and you're yelling, and you're screaming, and you're crying, and your friends are just like, okay.
Let's get like, through it.
Let's try to help each other. Right? And then right. we just have these random conversations where, just like this podcast, where there's
deep.
A topic, and we're talking, it gets deep. You know, and then it brings you close to that person.
Yeah,
but
or we
those,
check each other.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Or you disagree, and then definitely. Learning about each other through those disagreements, through those hard times, through the good times,
and I yeah,
right?
I think you bring up a very good point, is that I feel like something that has been different is, like, my at-home friends definitely check me, but they've never seen me in the light that my college friends have. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they never will. And it's not because we have a deeper connection or none of that. It's just because the things that I experience here are not things that I don't think I have experienced prior to college or I will experience after.
Mm-hmm.
And especially living here, you know, we have moments, like you said, where we're all, you know, don't disturb. And then we have moments where it's like we're in somebody's room jamming out to music, twerking, whatever. And then we have moments where we're checking each other, like.
But in that, it's so the beautiful part of that is that you learn about these people
right.
as if they're your sisters.
And sometimes, I was just about to say, it sometimes transcends friendship. It's like the people that I live with now, I will consider lifelong sisters.
Yeah.
Like,
people, I was at work and a young woman asked me, like, do you have sisters? And I immediately thought, yeah. Basically, and then having to explain, like, they're not blood related, but living in a house of four women is like living with three women. It's like living with three sisters, right? And you have to learn the good, the bad, and ugly to honestly love a person.
Yeah, and
if
honor
you
them.
think that you can love a person, whether it be in a relationship or a friendship, if you can truly love a person without knowing the bad part of that person, then it's not love. It's not true. It's not real. The arguing is the parts that make it beautiful, because when you overcome, right. not even just plug in regular relationships, like that makeup be crazy, right? Let me stop. Ooh! But oh my God. In friendships, right? You're not doing that, right? But I'm saying, like, the overcoming it is how you know that it's truly a true friendship.
Yeah.
Like,
and
it's real.
And I definitely feel like, our life is like a sitcom. And not even trying to be, once again, not even trying to be a simp, but it's just like, hold on, I'm about to get emotional. Hold on, wait.
Don't get emotional.
No, but like, honestly, I think that just universally, like, all my friends, we all seen each other grow. So I think, kind of going back to that initial question of how you balance at home friends and mm-hmm. college friends is the same way. I think it's moving in love. Mm-hmm. Always. That's always my thing. Mm-hmm. And then also just the genuine connection.
Yeah.
Like, we genuinely have a connection. You have with your college friends and your at home friends. So that can't be shaken.
Yeah.
Because it's genuine.
And then we talk about like the being yourself part, right?
Right.
Also meeting your friends where they are, in a sense of, if I'm going to bring these friends in the same space, right?
Right.
You have to maintain that genuine connection that you have with each and every one of them individually, uh-huh. and then meet those people where they are and have your college friends and home friends understand that you got to meet my friends where they are. Y'all aren't the same person. Y'all aren't from the same backgrounds, but I think y'all would really vibe with each other in your personal energies, right?
Right.
And I feel like, wow, we've had this, like, just, I don't know the word, like, transcendence into, like, what is the core of real friendship, right?
It's
just
love.
Talking about college friends, it's love, right?
Period.
And college is going to be an experience that you won't, or those 4 years, those 4 years where you're figuring out life, right, in college, in the halls of college, is an experience that you're not going to have anywhere else or in any other part of your life. Even if you go on to grad school, right, it all gets different and the circumstances get different, and then that's gonna change your friendship, like adult friends, right, work relationships or things like that, right? So then that segues into those different kind of friendships the older you and the more you go through. And I feel like, wow, we've talked about a lot. We went through a lot in these like 40
but
minutes.
I hope you gain something. Like, I think something that really stuck out to me is because, you know, a lot of my friends joke and call me, like, the preacher of the friend group. And I, you know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. And I'm definitely not the qualified person, I think, to speak on the word and the Lord and all of that. But I definitely, when you're ministering through your words, and, like, mm-hmm. this isn't ministership. This is obviously, like, we're cursing. We're being very, very falling short from grace. But ministering through, like, what we're saying, I felt ministered in our conversations mm-hmm. all the time. And, like, what really stood out to me is fall and don't force.
Yeah.
And, like, think about it. Like,
we always give you those little tidbits.
Exactly,
that, like,
everything that we've been talking about is definitely, I think that's a very, like, that's I want that tatted on me. Fall, don't force. Because you think about in your work relationships, you're talking about in your friendships, in your relationships, in everything around you. Fall into something beautiful. Don't force yourself into something wretched, because that's what you're going to end up doing. And I think, like,
quote of the episode.
That's
beautiful.
Good.
That is so beautiful. Pause. Let's just breathe. Breathe out. Whew,
I
like that.
Breathe through my mouth, so my nose.
That breath of fresh air. Let me stop. But something new,
you
right?
Fix vapor rub.
Has come to our attention. Right. Yay. You know, we have a podcast, and we always ask you guys, and this is funny because we were taken aback and caught off guard, but we always ask you guys to engage with us,
yes,
right? Let us know what you
new
think.
To do, because, like, we don't want to be mundane and do the same thing. And then this, which what we're about to do.
Right.
Definitely shook the table.
It shook the table for me, because I'm, like, sitting in bed, and then I get, like, a Twitter notification from the Fresh Air Pod.
Right.
Right? And it's, like, this is an anonymous message.
Okay.
And they're asking us to elaborate on their anonymous message. And so we're thinking, and we're
help
like,
them out.
Like, oh.
I feel honored that you feel like.
Right?
We
feel honored.
Competent enough to
help you.
To help you.
To talk
you
through it.
I feel really blessed to be able to help you. So.
And have this platform to do so. And just for anybody else who wants to do
yes.
it. Feel free to DM us. If you want it to be anonymous, let us know. Be anonymous. This person made a whole anonymous page. So we don't know who this person is. Right? But
I think what we'll end up doing, and we can, like, obviously me and Ishi will, you know, chat and kind of, like, formulate this more, but we can make an anonymous Google form weekly. And right? If you feel led to ask us something, you can go and put whatever in there anonymously, and we can help you, like we're about to do right
like
now.
Like an HBCU confessions journal or whatever.
Yes, but less messy, less toxic. Less love. Less love. Right.
Okay, go ahead. But, so today, we have somebody, the name is Smoochie. Okay, we gonna say their whole at Smoochie6114-7345 on Twitter.
I hope that's not their social.
Said, at the Fresh AirPod, I'm too scared to ask this, but if I'm a girl and I'm 22 and I'm bisexual, but I haven't told many people, right? And I'm in a relationship with a man or a guy who I think I will marry. Is it still important to come out to people like my parents and my family and you guys' opinion?
Like I said, when we were discussing this prior, I wouldn't say it's not important.
Pause.
Hold on, what?
Go ahead.
I wouldn't say, I was like, what? What for
you? I want people to soak the question in first.
I get
like, understand the question.
I get you. I wouldn't say it's necessarily important. If I were in that person's shoes, at this point, I'm married. It's really none of your concern. I feel like you telling them would be something that you do because you want to kind of like fully be who you are. Because you're not going to be able to fully be who you are without expressing or disclosing that to everyone that you love.
Yeah.
But on the tip of, it's none of your business. If you haven't done it because you're scared, I don't think that doing it will make you feel any less scared. Because think of the possibilities after. But I feel like, don't misquote me and misunderstand me in what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to move in fear. I would never tell you to do that. I'm telling you to move in love for yourself, always. That's my whole thing, always. Is telling your family and telling your friends and everyone else going to allow you to be liberated, or is it going to cause, bondage in a sense of like, you feel like now I've told these people and I am attached to something, their idea of me. I'm not liberated. I feel like I actually put myself back into a space of I'm not safe. Okay. I'm not free. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like you're going to be liberated telling people to do it, but if you don't see a benefit or a pro, then I'm not saying live in shame, live in fear, live in hiding, but it's just not something that everybody needs to know.
Okay. My perspective as the queer representative here,
go ahead,
right?
Sis.
Being a part of that community, right? I'm going to reread the question just if you forgot what it said. But basically, if I'm a girl, I'm 22, I'm bisexual, I'm in a relationship with a man that I think I might marry, should I still tell people like my parents and my family, right, in our opinion? From my perspective, I think it's necessary. I think it's important in order to, I understand the question Julia asks, but I disagree with being in a place of bondage. They say that if you are truly something, right, if you truly want to be the person who you have to be out front and open with that. And know that does not look the same for everybody, but it will give you a better sense of this world. Now you fully know me as a person. Right. We just talked about friendship and taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? If you can't accept me at my good and my bad and my ugly, is it a real thing that I want? And then coming from a family perspective, just from my personal perspective, my mother, like, knowing that I'm bi, she takes some type of comfort in the fact that she just wants grandchildren, right?
Right.
So she's like, will I have grandchildren? Okay, right? And yes, it's difficult and it's scary to come out, especially if you're in a relationship with somebody, right? But coming out is an experience that people have to have, because if you don't, you're just going to hold it in. And you talk about the sake of hiding, that hiding is then going to present itself in the future.
In other ways,
further down the line when you do marry this person, right? That hiding then will present itself. Right.
Because I definitely think your partner should know. If they don't know, you should definitely tell your partner. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying don't go around here. Don't disclose it to everybody if you don't feel it.
And I get that, but she's saying people like her parents and her family.
Okay.
So, can you truly be honest with yourself and your sexuality and your without being honest to other people, and specifically your family, with who you are? No, I don't go around telling people, oh my God, I'm so gay. Like, right, and I'm so bi all the time. But if you ask me, I'm going to be openly honest when it comes to my safety. Do I feel safe in this moment?
Right.
Because sometimes I'm in spaces where I don't necessarily feel safe disclosing my whole complete sexuality with people because I don't feel safe. But in a place where it's like your family and your home, right? It creates a feeling of safety when it's like, you now truly know me who I am. Right. As a person. And of course, assess your personal family at first, right? Like, take a look back.
Okay.
Know your family. family for who they are. If you think they're gonna be on some wild shit, then I don't know.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, but your family is gonna start like, oh, you're freaking gay. We don't love you anymore. All this bull crap.
Okay, but the people who would go through that and the people who experience the, you're fucking gay, I don't fucking love you anymore, I'm gonna disown you, you still then
feel vindicated.
You feel free because, okay, now at least you know. Like, at least you know.
Now I can live the part.
Okay. Now I can live the life I want to live, or be like who I want to be.
Like you said, I'm definitely privileged in the sense of I'm speaking from a place where I won't have to come out.
You're straight.
Like, so.
She's straight, guys. Let me stop.
And single, so if you are a man.
Pause.
6 feet. Shoot that shot.
Not six anyway, feet.
6 feet of that.
Okay.
I'm disgusted. But anyway.
But yeah. Okay.
So shout out to you, whoever
shout out
you
to Smoochie. That we was the name
that
on
you
there.
Work through it and
we hope that we can our opinions can somehow bit. Help you, even though it's like
it's all over the place.
Random honestly, all over the place.
Honestly, we wish you the best.
We do. And in your marriage too. Let me stop. But you know, moving on to our question of the episode, my favorite part, because it prompts people to engage with us and answer us and talk to us, right? This week's question of our episode that is gonna segue into next week's episode is, how do your relationships with your job affect your view of your personal life, your goals, and then how does that then, you know, play out in your life, right? And when we think about this question, I don't necessarily like breaking down the question before people answer it, but because I want them to take it as it is from their perspective.
Right.
But, like, how do you think, like, your personal work drive, right, or your feeling of work ethic, right, how doesn't that affect your personal life? Do I feel like if I don't really love my career, am I going to be motivated to go, right? If I am working at a minimum wage job while I'm in college, right, does that then affect, like, how I view college? And then how I view, does it make me want to drop out of college, or does it make me want to
keep going
and does it motivate me more, right? So we're just going to repeat the question. How does your personal relationship with your job affect your view of your life, like your personal life and your goals and things like that, right? So we're going to post a question somewhere. We might ask a couple people. You give us your feedback. You let us know how you feel. But question of the episode always brings us to the end of our episodes. I think this might have been one of our longest episodes yet because we took a journey.
We did.
We went on a journey. But we just want to thank you.
But we gave y'all enough time to listen to it. So if you need to break it up, do what you got to do because you have 2 weeks.
You have 2 weeks until our next episode. You feel me? The Fresh Air Podcast is each, you know, born to play, made to swear, or whatever. And,
it's due. Once again, no bars.
But yeah.
And also, y'all, I've been really working on my audio because I know a lot of people said it's hard to hear me. I'm very soft spoken. So definitely hear you. Let me try that again. It's due. Let me stand in my power. It's my truth. It's Julia Miarza.
And it's Ishii from the Fresh Air Podcast.
Love y'all.
And love y'all. Thank you for listening.
I used to pray for times like this, to rhyme like this, so I had to grind like that, to shine like this. In a matter of time I spent on some locked up shit in the back of the paddy wagon, cuffs locked on wrist. See my dreams unfold,
what?
Nightmares come true. It was time to marry the game and I said, yeah, I do. If you want it, you gotta see it with a clear eye view. Got shorty, she try and bless me like I said I chew. Like a nigga sneeze, nigga please. For them trick and squeeze, I'm getting cream. Never let them hoes get in between of what we started. Little nigga, but I'm lying hearted. They love me when I was stuck and they hated. When I departed, I go and get it regardless.